session number 24197, Rule 6.
In relation to the sort of camaraderie that was going on, were officers, people of higher rank than the average soldier, joked about? Were they treated with the respect that they should be given all the time, do you think?
There was a certain amount of joking about them, and most of them had nicknames that the boys used.
Can you give us an idea?
I wouldn't like to mention them because they're rather rude, most of them. But
I get this impression from other people that I interviewed that the Australians didn't really have a hell of a lot of respect for their officers.
Well, I think once they'd been in action a bit, they had more respect. It depends on how they performed.
For instance, the British Army, you had to salute, and often formalities of that sort would be thrown away. You'd be basically calling them by name. And
yeah. Mm. Yes, well, that's what they did as far as we were concerned. Most of them would speak to a platoon commander by his first name. Mm. Which is not a bad thing, I think.
I was going to ask how that sort of helped to keep the group...
Keep the group together, yes, I think so. Mm. I think when it came to a company commander and above that, I think they'd have more respect, or they'd show more respect when they were talking to them.
I've also heard that there wouldn't be too much opposition to the idea of basically telling the officer where to go if the order was not necessarily agreed with. Did you ever experience anything like that at all?
No, I didn't. I was not long as an ordinary private. I spent most of my time as a corporal and then a sergeant. Then a sergeant major, and then eventually after the octoo as a lieutenant. So I mightn't have been in a position to hear what the boys had to say about some of them.
As we come to the end of your time in Tobruk, to what degree was the average soldier getting jack of the idea of soldiering, the way it was going? For them in Tobruk?
I think they were getting a bit fed up with being there. It was mostly fairly boring because every night we were going out on patrol, and there's nothing worse than tiptoeing around in the no man's land and hoping that you won't run into anybody, and also hoping you don't get lost.
As I understand, you were there until October or September.
End of September, I think we came out. I know.
23rd of September.
Yeah,
I think it was. Mm. When was it that you knew you were going to be taken out?
Oh, only about a week of, or a few days before, because it wasn't mentioned to the troops before that, because the officers wouldn't know anyhow. But we knew that some of the Australians had been relieved and taken out and relieved by British troops, and we realised that our time would come eventually, which it did.
Had you been into Tobruk up until the time of your relief at all?
Into the town? No, I hadn't been. I know that some of the boys had shot through and gone in there, but they finished up being penalised for that. One black I had to give him pack drill, which is a bit silly when you're fairly close to the front line. We went right in the front line, but a back position, and we started when he was doing his pack drill and I was telling him what to do, we started to be shelled, and I jumped into a trench and said, "Carry on, you'll be all right." And because I got abused then, and he jumped in as well because the shelling got a bit heavy. But we often talk about that situation, that chap and myself.
You mentioned chaps would go AWL into Tobruk.
Was there
anything for them to do once they got there?
Well, they could probably get hold of some extra supplies. I think this bloke had got all sorts of things that was probably ready to be taken to, to be distributed through the rations. So we had to stop that, of course. We couldn't have half the troops going in there, but it was just the few odd ones that did go in.
So in relation to your relief, presumably you went through Tobruk to get to the harbour, am I right?
Yes. It was done at night, and we were taken down, the trucks were taken right down into the wharf almost, and we went straight on to, can't even remember the name of it now, a destroyer, and almost by morning we were back in Alexandria.
Mm. Obviously the ships that had come into Tobruk were of great importance.
Yes, well that's the only way they can get the supply in. Ammunition and food and artillery shells, of course, that was most important. There were ships coming in all the time. I think a lot of the British Navy were bringing those in from Alexandria.
Known as the Spud Run, some of them, bringing the food in, I understand.
Could be, yeah.
And I understand that the operation to get you out was quite a well-timed and disciplined experience. Can you describe what it undertook?
Well, we were told on that morning, we knew that we were due to go out, and we were told on that morning that we would be going out. And it was a case of each company and each platoon organising themselves so that they would be together on trucks the trucks would come and take them straight to the wharf. But the whole battalion went together, but not sure whether they all went on the same ship or not.
I hear stories that you were coming on one side and supplies were going off on the other. Am I right?
Yes, that could be happening too. It wouldn't be supplies coming off; it'd be on the same side, but they might have been taking supplies off the other end. 60 years ago. It's pretty hard to remember.
Doing a happened. Pretty good job. In relation to that experience, what do you recall of actually being on board the destroyer and obviously the feelings that were associated with you leaving Tobruk?
Well, everyone was very relieved, of course. And when we were down in the harbour, we were hoping that the big guns from that we used to be fire on Tobruk wouldn't open up. But we were lucky, we got through and got outside the harbour, and then the ships were zigzagging all the time as they were going down. And I remember I was on the table, sleeping on the top of a table, and when she zigzagged, at one stage I rolled off and fell on the bloke that was sleeping on the stool. But we were very happy.
What sort of condition would you have been in at that point, do you think, physically wise?
Well, I think we would have been about 80% fit still. Probably the exercise of the patrols at night helped us quite a bit too. But the food was terrible. try eating tinned food for 6 months and see how you feel.
No thanks. In relation to the situation, you'd been taken from Tobruk. How did you feel about what you'd done?
Well, we felt that I think we felt that we'd done a reasonable job. We'd carried out everything that the battalion had been asked to do. We'd had a couple of attacks, raids, as we called them, on Italian and German positions. There had been about half a dozen chaps had been decorated for their actions.
One of the things that Wavell was to have said to Morshead, "Your magnificent defence of Tobruk is disrupting the enemy's plan to attack Egypt and giving no time to build up a force for a counter-offensive." When you arrived back in Alexandria, how were you treated by the people there as to this defence?
Well, if I remember rightly, we just went... I think we stayed overnight in a camp, separated from other troops. We weren't right in Alexandria, if I remember, and it wasn't very long before we were on a train going towards Palestine.
The general situation, obviously, you moved out of Tobruk one day, you're in Alexandria the next, and then you're shipped off somewhere else. To what degree did that sort of sense of uncertainty or that sort of lack of control have on the morale of the blokes, do you think?
Well, I don't think that worried their morale very much. I remember after we got off the ship at Alexandria, we were put into trucks, and we were going along the road, and we saw an Arab lady on the edge of the road, and one bloke wanted to jump off. We had to hold him. It was all a joke, really. It was a very amusing situation. That's the first woman we had seen for 6 months.
That must have been something you sort of have to put up with.
Yes, yeah.
Missing the fairer sex.
Well, it certainly worried a lot of the boys, I know.
In relation to your next stop, presumably in camp Palestine, before being taken up further, What was the situation like in that camp, October of 41?
Oh, it was quite quite good. Kilo 89 was the camp we were in, I think, from memory, and there was the usual camp duties. There was always a one company that was on duty, and they'd provide a guard and cookhouse and all the general things that troops do in camps. We did a lot of drill and marching and a few exercises. Bit of a problem, I think, to keep the boys occupied. We were there for Christmas, and I think our company was on duty, but half of the company was, or one platoon, I think, was away looking after, guarding something else. And I was the sergeant major at that time, acting sergeant major, and I had to work out the duties. And I put one mob on guard, and I thought, now, I usually work everything out from alphabetical order, so I started from the bottom this time, and it so happened that the same mob went back on guard. At least one bloke didn't appreciate it very much. His son is now a brigadier in the Australian Army. Anyhow, he said, "What's the idea of sticking me on guard again? I've just come off." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Wonga," his name was. "You'll have to do it because I just haven't got the troops." So that evening I went down, I knew what had happened because it was Christmas Eve, and I got down to the guard room, there was nobody there. And so I went up to the canteen, they were all up there getting drunk. So I didn't do anything more about that. I told them they get back to the guard room, but they didn't take very much notice.
What was the situation being in a position of rank? How did you feel about it for a start?
Well, I think you've got to put yourself a bit in the position of the ordinary troops. If you instruct them to do something, I don't think you've got to be very with Australian troops anyhow. You don't want to be too severe on them, and you don't want to use your rank to make them do certain things unless it was absolutely necessary. That's the way I looked at it anyhow. I really didn't have too much trouble, except at Christmas time. And you couldn't really blame them for that.
What of the situation in relation to being given rank? How did that help your situation, do you think?
Well, in camp it would help the situation because I was in the sergeant, going to the sergeant's mess for meals, so it was a little bit better than, although the food would be the same, a little bit better than going to the general mess. also we had a bar in the sergeant's mess, which was very nice. But in the field or in action, of course, you'd be treated exactly. You'd be get the same rations and everything else as anybody else.
What are situations in relation to being placed on leave or having days off where you could see a bit of the world? Is that something you were able to do there?
Yes. Well, after we got out of Tobruk, there was a bit of leave given. Most of them had plenty of money, having unable to spend very much for 6 months. So some of them went to Haifa on leave. Some of them went to Cairo. I remember going to Cairo. I think Keith Potter was with me then, with us. There's about half a dozen of us went to Cairo. And I remember going on a bus trip to... the bus trip was to going through Cairo, through Haifa, and around all the biblical places. But I also remember that three of us got off the bus at Haifa and said, "Pick us up on the way back." We had about 3 or 4 days and very enjoyable time in Haifa at a hotel.
I understand that you couldn't go on leave if you didn't have any money, or if your money situation wasn't good enough.
Well, they wouldn't want to go on if they didn't have any money anyhow, unless they could borrow some. But the leave was worked out in a fair way, I think.
So what was it like then? 3 days leave in a place like Haifa, and there you are, sort of almost tourists in a war situation.
Yeah. Yes, well, we stayed at in Haifa at the Zion Hotel, I remember, and the main thing was food, I think, to have some decent food. I remember there we had steak and about a dozen eggs each in one restaurant. So that was the main thing I remember. Plenty to drink and good food. Although I remember also that the only thing we could get was gin. Well, if you drunk very much gin, you find that it's very depressing. So we managed to enjoy ourselves anyhow.
In relation to the situation, looking towards the future, that sort of live for the moment in this particular situation, I presume, given the fact that you might be in a sticky situation in the not too distant future.
Yes, well, I think there was a bit of that attitude, you know, make the most of it. But generally, I don't think they thought about future action. They realised, of course, that they would be in another situation eventually.
How were the locals treating you in relation to the fact that here you are, troops on leave?
Well, they were very, very good. The Jewish community in Haifa were very happy to talk to us and let us know how things were going. They were all very worried about what had happened in Germany, of course. But, you know, they were very happy to have the Australian troops there.
In relation to that whole sort of political situation, the Jews, the Palestinians, was there a sense that friction existed at that point?
Yes, there was. There was, because when we were in the camp after we got out of Tobruk, we had quite a number of rifles stolen by the Arabs. And we're aware, of course, that they wanted those that they could, in their strife against the Jews.
You mentioned
so there was definitely a feeling of antagonism between the two of them. Mm.
Did you experience any actual conflict?
No.
Really?
No, not any. But
how did the Jews look at it? How did the Israeli people look at the situation, do you think, at the time?
Well, I didn't discuss it with them. we were quite friendly with one family who, if I remember rightly, took us up a mountain very close to Haifa and told us about, you know, how they'd come to Palestine and how they'd settled in and built the town of Haifa. They were quite friendly people.
I understand that troops were sent to Lebanon, Syria. What was your experience of that? Did you go up?
Yes, we went up by truck up the coast road to through Beirut, and up to Tripoli, which is the main town north of Beirut, and we were going through orchards and places where oranges were being grown because the boys yelled out, "How about some oranges?" And they pelted us with them. We got plenty of oranges. When we got to Tripoli, the battalion headquarters, we were just out of Tripoli and we went up into the mountains there.
There was a sense of, at this time, of seeing the world in relation to your situation.
Yeah, yes, it was very interesting as far as I was concerned. You're seeing different countries and different way of life. Although not very different to what we were used to.
Did you understand the reason why you were being shipped north?
Yes, because they realised there was a possibility that they would come down through Turkey and invade Lebanon and come down and get the canal that way. There was a chance they would do that.